possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Point that with a seed ball.
So,
and Mike would say something like, yeah, no.
But I do think his calling is his offensive coordinator, not his head coach, as it turns out.
God, I would just, that's a frustration point, because I think you're right to bring up what you do about Mike there, that he just, Tomlin, that is, that he would just, that would not work. It'd be oil and water. But that's what's so frustrating. A team, guarantee you, that a forward-thinking team has already like run the war game scenario of if Mike McDaniel gets cut
out, yep,
we want to pounce.
All right, so next up is more from Weidel here on wide receivers. Now, he's going to talk about the guys that are in-house. We know he's going to say nice things. It's just a matter of who he compliments in kind of the order, but also who he gives the most effusive praise to. Here he is on the guys behind DK Metcalf on the depth chart.
Yeah, I think, you know, the acquisition of DK Metcalf, you know, we feel he's an elite player, obviously. You know, to be that big, that fast, that physical, that have that kind of ability to, you know, initiate your horsepower and accelerate the way he does is unique. You know, there's not many players, like that in the NFL. And he's been great. You know, he makes big plays out there every day, it seems like, in camp. So, really excited about that. You know, Roman's been coming on. So, you know, saw last week a little bit, got him going early, and we want to see him keep going, you know, keep building, keep growing. You know, obviously Calvin's been, you know, he's been hurt, so he hasn't been out there as much, but he, you know, we know what that guy's toughness is. We know what his speed is and his ability, so we'll get him back here at some point. And I think you saw, you know, from the other guys, like Scotty Miller, you know, and I thought you saw the undrafted free agents last week. They all showed up and made plays last week, which was exciting. So,
well, he went right to Scotty Miller. Scotty Miller, according to Jeff Hathorn, who's been at every day of Steelers practice, was the most consistent wide receiver, the most consistent offensive player, which is, you know, good for Scotty Miller, who's a journeyman.
Bad for the rest
of the
offense.
But also bad that he didn't say that about other skill position players who are obviously much better and much more important. So
I would have killed to have heard that Roman Wilson was the star of camp among the skill guys.
Yeah, and he was the star of minicamp. The things about both of those guys, once he moved on from Metcalf and basically glazing him, as the kids like to say, like the Wilson thing, there inherent in that answer was he was not good at first. He said coming on. Mm-hmm. So he underachieved.
You have to be starting from a position of being back in the pack.
And then he admitted, like, yeah, we haven't seen Austin because he's been hurt. And he stopped. He did not say we know what he's capable of. Mm-hmm. Because if you say we know what he's capable of, you're basically admitting what he did last year is who he is, which is a good number three wide receiver. But I think they still aspire, or still hoping, that he's more than that. And I don't see how you could jump to that conclusion based on where he was drafted and what he's put on tape so far in his career. He's a nice depth wide receiver. I don't think he's anything more than that. They still have a hole.
He's not a gimmick player, but he's like a guy. like a great number three receiver from back in the day would be like a Brandon Stokley, right? Like there's an elite third wide receiver and a crazy.
How about Antoine Randle-El?
Yeah, and he had utility as a gadget.
How about Jericho Cotchery?
Well, he had, again, specific kind of player. Austin is a different kind. Cotchery, would you agree? Possession, just steady veteran presence, is not going to bellyache about playing time. But if you
how about Mike
ball,
Wallace when
it.
They had Hines Ward and...
No, Mike would have been the number two there. Emmanuel Sanders was probably the three early on. And
yeah, but
AB
they had Mike Wallace
elevated.
When they had Hines Ward and Santonio for a year. Right? Because he would have been there.
Do you think Hines was old enough, though, that he was transitioning into more of a true, like, he was acting like the third wide receiver at that point? I would say.
I think he was a possession guy. I thought he was still a 75 to 80 catch guy.
Yeah, he functioned more like the steady move the chains guy. I mean, Austin's a big play threat out of the slot. He's a guy who can hit you maybe five times a year with a lightning bolt.
And the thing that seems to be a consensus among the insiders from Steelers training camp is. They just don't understand why Rodgers didn't want to throw the ball downfield that much.
Well, that's something that's been a story that has gone.
I'm actually going to ask Ray about
it's
that.
Gone
when he comes
reported.
On.
It's gone reported. People have mentioned that they're not. You know, the people who've been watching practice have mentioned that hey, they're not taking a ton of shots downfield. But for whatever reason, and I'm not going to speculate as to why because I don't really know an answer to this. People haven't like made a big deal of it, but. I feel like you should be taking these shots in practice. Rodgers is basically telling you that he throws interceptions once in a while to try things. Mm-hmm. How about you try some deep shots, man?
All right, so if Weidel makes the draft grades, and we know he does, then he had to have a good grade on Broderick Jones because that was the first pick this administration made in the first round.
That was his guy.
They put their name on Broderick Jones. And
he really put his name on Broderick
Jones. Right, so I think that's, I mean, that's fair. I think... Absolutely, Andy Weidel was a big Broderick Jones fan and saw the potential even though he didn't play much at Georgia.
He was a big enough fan to risk probably the wrath of Tomlin and sell him on the idea that you can have this guy that I like and the guy you like at pick 32.
But how about the wrath of Khan? Isn't that a Star Trek movie?
Khan! Yeah, I think Shatner said.
Who the hell watches Star Trek?
Great question.
Seriously.
But you've never seen Star Wars, but
yeah, I have.
Okay, you have?
I've seen the original. I've seen The Empire Strikes Back.
And Return of the Jedi?
Is that the one with the bears?
Yeah, the Ewoks, yes, the Bears. Yeah. Actually, they had Mongo McMichael, Richard Dent, and the rest of the
Jim
crew.
Jim McMahon
helping,
was in there.
Jim McMahon helping defeat the Empire.
And Donnie, I think your favorite
Walter
was
Payton
in that one,
was
too.
Just trucking people.
Jabba.
Refrigerator Perry.
Oh, yeah. Big Jabba.
Oh, yeah. Jabba. Well, Jabba's in the original Star Wars, too. But no, I never understood Star Trek. I felt like the tears of nerddom were... You could be a pretty non-nerdy person and just be like, all right, Star Wars is fun. It's whatever. It's like a Clint Eastwood movie done in outer space.
And you're really getting into that thick science fiction stuff.
You get into the Star Trek, man. You've got your phasers and you've got all your goofy time travel and they're traveling to distant worlds and all that. I felt like that was much nerdier.
All right, Donnie, give me Andy Weidel on Broderick Jones.
Right. I think in the last week and a half, 2 weeks, I think you've seen him just as he's gotten healthy. And the repetitions, he's going out there now, and I think you're seeing pass protection. I think you saw it in the last game, the opening drive, you know, his ability on the left side to get out, his athleticism, his power. You know, I just think it's a matter of repetition and staying out there and keep growing. You know, the more reps he gets, the better he's going to get at that position. He's a young guy. He's an arrow up guy. This is a position we drafted him to play, and he's out there with a great energy. And you're just seeing him grow and develop and mature. And we're looking for, you know, more growth, just like Caleb just talked about, from week one to week two. We expect that from him this week, too. So
I hear in there a guy who is ticked off subtly. Not that he's like throwing
interesting
total shade when he says he's playing the position we drafted him to play. I cannot imagine that doesn't have a small bit of. Yeah. And I make the board. I don't get to decide what we do with the players after they're in the organization.
Well, it definitely stunted his growth because Dan Moore is at best just a guy, and I think at times was actually much worse than that. The issue here's the bottom line on that. Mike Tomlin wants to win as much games as he can every year, even if the best they can do is 9 or 10 with no shot at winning a Super Bowl. So he will play the guy that gives him the best chance to do that, even if it's not in the best long-term interest of the Steelers. And Broderick Jones, because of the lack of playing time at Georgia, absolutely was a project. So you probably would have taken early in his career more bumps with him, but he would be further
he'd be much
along
better
right now.
And
exactly.
You'd have a way better idea of whether you're going to pick up a fifth-year option and what he's capable of, because he would have taken his lumps. I also think that Mike... Listen, I'm not going to poo-poo this because I do think it's important, and I think it's been a habit of most of the best players ever to play the sport, like Aaron Donald, Brady, guys like that. I do think Jones, in addition to not having a ton of reps, did not understand some of the things that go into being a high-level professional.
No doubt.
But, like, they put way too much stock in, look at what a professional Dan Moore is, and not enough stock in, does all of that lead to Dan Moore even being good at football?
Can I be honest with you, though? What you just said there about Moore, like, look at what a professional he is. I think they only say that because of what Broderick Jones
was doing. Like, they were trying
to
send a message to him?
Well, just, okay, like, this guy's, we think Moore, like, all things being equal, is a little bit better right now. And this guy busts his ass and does all these things, and the other guy doesn't.
Yeah.
So that, I mean,
I just got so sick of hearing it, even if that's why they were saying it, because it was just like, okay, if he's such a pro, he shouldn't be this mediocre.
Like a lot of these, like the last few first round, in air quote, busts for the Steelers, or guys that didn't live up to the billing, Najee, Kenny, and Broderick, unless he can turn it around, there's blame to be shared. Like, there's personal responsibility and accountability on the player's part, but the team didn't do those guys any favors either. They weren't developed properly. They weren't put in great positions to succeed, but also, like, they just, in Kenny's case, just probably isn't good enough.
In Najee's case, played a devalued position and wasn't the style of player that you might be willing to take a first on. I would say this in Jones's case. He both has the highest ceiling athletically and for that position of any of those three guys relative to their position.
Yep.
But you can probably make the argument was not as about business and focused maybe off the field and with that.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Stuff as the other two were.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We will hear what Andy Weidel said about Cam Hayward in that situation in about a half hour. Tomlin gave almost nothing on it when he talked earlier in the week. I guess Omar Khan is still technically can still talk about it because the season hasn't started. That's when he begins his silence. He does not talk in season. That's been a long time Steelers GM rule. Tomlin did say today, just snuck in there, yeah, Cam won't play against the Bucs. No bleep, Mike. The dude's not even practicing.
Yeah, him saying that in that way is like one of the most...
Stop pretending like he was a player that was even up for consideration here.
Was he just trying to normalize that situation by talking about him like he would have to answer
probably
that question?
Probably just a habit.
Well, maybe it's a sign that he's not as... that things aren't that far apart and it's still copacetic.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That's where we find the man who will call Saturday night's preseason game on KDK-TV. 7 o'clock kickoff. They'll be on the air at 6:30. He is the man over 40 years at Channel 2 calling Steelers preseason games for the better part of 20-plus years. And it is a tough job because you need to memorize almost 200 names. $90, 90 Steelers, and by the second half, you've got guys playing out there because who have two numbers. There are two 16s on a team. There are two 37s, exactly.
Oh, it was a mess, and I understand it. It's like calling a college game.
It is pandemonium for one Bob Pompeiani, but at least in the college game, you might go into it. If it's Georgia versus Alabama, those schmucks at the end of the bench aren't going to play.
They're never going to play, right. You just need to know the 88 who actually gets on the field.
I mean, Bob, what do you do to memorize it? You've never told me this before. What are you doing in the days leading up to a preseason game to make sure that you don't F up the names when you're on stage doing this game?
Well, I appreciate you guys the sentiment there. It is difficult, but it's just a matter of going over rosters, try to remember little things about each player if I can. I use my wife, actually. I tell Lisa, you know, we go through this test where I have all these numbers. I put them in a basket, and this is about the opposing team mostly. But, you know, pull one out and trigger my memory. You know, and if I hopefully I'll get it right, and I'll tell you a little bit about a person. But it takes a long time.
Are you stuck on guys right now with the Bucs, or have you already memorized their roster?
No, I'm still in the process. That's what I'm doing. They have three sets of double numbers here, so. You know, when the double number comes up, I have to clarify because it says on the sheet where Lisa picks it out.
Who wears number 44 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Who's number 44 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Yep.
I would say Sean Tucker, but it's off the top of my head.
Let's go, Bob!
Bob, I think he asked you that on purpose, though, because I ditched by accident Sean Tucker in one of my fantasy leagues and was rightfully mocked for it. And so it's not just the Syracuse factor there. It's because I made a very stupid decision with that guy.
Well, he had a pretty good first game, if I recall, last week against Tennessee. So, you know, he's one of the guys that they're going to be relying on in their run game, which was good last week. So we'll see a lot of that. I think they have six guys right now in their running back room. So we'll see a lot of them.
How long do the Bob Pompeiani charts take to make?
There he goes again.
The future bartenders of America. I apologize. I did not know we were going down that road.
No, that's okay.
How long do those charts take for you to make?
Depends. If I can do them straight through, it takes a good 4 hours, 5 hours.
How do you feel about that level of prep?
I love it.
You have, like, if you see our preseason games, you know that there are a lot of promotional things being talked about. And it's kind of a diversion of attention because, you know, you want to focus on who's coming into the game, because unlike a regular season game, I mean, there are all sorts of players coming in and out at various times. But when we're doing some of the business we have to do, my attention is not there. It's on, you know, the reads we have to make. So in that case, you got to rely on, again, the memory that comes into a play. And it's an acquired taste. It's fun. I enjoy it. I think it tests me. It keeps my brain moving, I can tell you that.
Donnie started the show by saying he does not agree with Tomlin's philosophy here of not giving Aaron Rodgers any reps in the preseason. Donnie brought up Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and these guys. How about you, Bob? Your reaction to seeing Aaron Rodgers again put on ice here in the preseason?
Well, he's going to get plenty of time today in this joint practice, but I agree with Donnie, and I've said that from the beginning. I don't need to see a lot, but I want to see a little anyway. And I thought it would be this home game against Tampa Bay on Saturday night. A lot of people coming out, a lot of first-time people. have a chance to see him, you know, just for a series or two or whatever it may take. There's risk involved in everything. We've seen guys get injured in practice, joint practices, regular practices. So, yeah, there's a risk. But at the same time, this is a whole new cast of characters. And I would like to see a little bit just getting in and out of the huddle, you know, the cadences, all the things that go into what he has to do with a young offensive line.
Mike was asked, I think, about a rookie or a guy who could really, he's going to be watching closely in this game. And he singled out Caleb Johnson and talked about him. And he said he needed to trust himself more. Who do you think, or how much do you think Caleb Johnson stands to gain or lose in terms of a role with this team by how he performs the rest of this preseason?
Well, I think it was the first game, Chris, is, you know, I didn't think he was all that good, to be honest. There was some hesitation there, I thought. Charlie and I, when we went through in the breaks, were saying it's a little apprehensive, like he was trying to pick his spots, not unlike Le'Veon Bell or, to a degree, Najee Harris. But I think he needs to utilize what he has. Hit the hole and run. He can do that. You know, he's a guy who has a lot of potential out of Iowa. I mean, he wouldn't put up the kind of numbers he did, which I think last year were 21 touchdowns and all these yards. So they want to see more of that and more decisiveness, I think, when it comes to hitting the hole.
Bob, Cam Hayward not going to play, Mike Tomlin said, obviously. He's still not practicing. If you had to guess right now, a very educated guess, obviously, because of your standing, how do you think this ends for Cam Hayward with the Steelers?
I've been saying, and I think I'm going to stick to this, that it's going to end with him getting something from next year's bonus money that's attached to this. Again, there's leverage on both sides. The Steelers have most of the leverage here because of what happened last year, and I think Cam and his agent left a lot on the table, and because of that, you know, they're going through this process now. If they had this all figured out in the context of a contract, I don't think we'd be going down this road, but because we are, I do think they'll do something. The leverage on Cam's part is that he's a big part of what they do on defense, especially with all these young guys surrounding him. You know, Keanu Benton didn't come off a good second year. Derek Harmon's a rookie. We see Black. He's a rookie. Other guys have been around forever, like, you know, DeMarvin Leal, Isaiah Loudermilk, name him, Logan Lee. Haven't seen much from those guys. He is the one linchpin, and if they're putting everything, you know, all the chips moved into the middle of the table here for this season, he's important for that. So I think it will end with him getting some extra money somewhere along the line.
Bob, you have a pulse of the fans, probably to an even greater extent than Andrew does or I do. How much damage do you think right now Hayward has done so far throughout this process in terms of his relationship with the fan base and how they view him?
I think this is not unlike T.J. Watt, though, Chris. You know, he went through the same kind of thing, although this is a little bit different because T.J., at least, you know, it's the same time coming up for a renewal, and then they normally will address it. This is a little bit different. So I think from that point it has. But I think overall, once this gets settled and he gets out there, and if he contributes the way he did last year, I think all will be forgotten. Cam Hayward's done too much good in this town for people to remember this over everything else he's done. So I do think temporarily there is that, yes. But I also think as time goes on, that will kind of recede. And you'll see, hopefully he has a good year. They need him to have a good year if they're going to do anything and as far as stopping other teams' running games, which is something they could not do last year.
Is Bob Pompeiani starting to think that the Steelers are going to add a wide receiver, and it might be a big-name wide receiver, like, let's say, OBJ?
I will say this. A lot of this will depend on what happens this coming Saturday, mostly, but even in the next week. If they don't see, you know, I don't know what the extent of Austin's injury is, Andrew, and I think that's an important part of this, too, because he's big. He needs to get out there. Roman Wilson looked okay, a couple of catches. Scotty Miller's been probably the best guy out there. They can't survive, though, with just those kind of guys. If they do, they better put up bigger efforts here in the next coming days. So I would say I'm 60-40 thinking they're going to sign somebody. I know Amari Cooper's name has come up. We've been talking about players like him for a long time. Mm-hmm. That could very well be the guy. If it gets bigger than that, then it requires another trade. So I do think there'll be 60-40, I'm saying something will happen.
Do you think Robert Woods makes this team?
No, but again, if they need a veteran guy because these other guys aren't doing it, then at 33 years old, he would be somebody who, you know, he's had pretty good history, too. I think he's won a Super Bowl with the Rams when he was with them. He's had a lot of touchdowns. I mean, he's reliable, but he's not the same player at 33 that he was. So my gut would tell me no. If it's Austin, Metcalf, Roman Wilson, you know, Scarano's going to be on the team just because of his
Scotty Miller so much. He's been like this ultra, Mr. Consistency here.
I would love to see Rock Taylor take off so I can just give Donnie another. Can you smell what the Rock is cooking?
Well, hold on. I'm glad you brought that up, Bob. I'm glad you brought that up. We thought maybe you've been so good to me and to Andrew throughout our respective careers. You've been so kind to both of us and generous in many ways. We thought maybe since you did that for Donnie, you could do something PM team related. And we thought our easiest, you know, quotable thing that people associate with the show is the phrase, congratulations on all your success. Do you think you could work that in at some point for a Steelers player? Say Darnell Washington catches another touchdown and you say, and that's a, you know, Steelers touchdown for Darnell Washington. Congratulations on all your success.
I think that's doable. Yeah, I do.
Depending on
who it would be in the time of the game.
All right. I'll try to
figure that in.
Have Lisa quiz you on
that one. Congratulations on your success for this outstanding radio program.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Bob, I will be up there Saturday, so I'll pop in and say hello.
All right. Look forward to seeing you guys. Appreciate
there
it.
There you go.
Have a good rest of your day. Donnie, go get him.
Wow. All right. I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
Who was the preseason voice of the Steelers before Pump? Because I feel like for me as a fan not living here, being able to watch every team's preseason broadcast predates Pompeiani not having the job. So who did he get the torch from? Was it Saverin?
So here's...
Was it John Staggerwald?
So it would have gone in concert with like CBS having the broadcast rights is when Bob would have taken over that stuff.
Yeah.
Previous to that, NBC would have had the rights. Maybe Sam Nover? I'm like blanking on this because it's honestly a far enough back like callback for me that I'm having trouble remembering. But like in my brain, it's somebody like that.
Donnie, text Pop and ask him that question if you don't know the answer to it right now. Who called?
It wouldn't have been Hillgrove. He would have been doing radio.
Right. Who called Steelers preseason games before Bob? He's the only guy I know.
I don't think John Steigerwald would have done it. I don't know if he was at KDKA when the rights shifted over, I think in 98 to CBS. I know this is going to sound nuts, but like the first name that legitimately popped into my head was Sam Nover for some reason.
Okay, somebody on the text line said that. Sam Nover.
Dude, if I pulled that one out of the absolute mists, I will be very impressed with myself.
And I am too to some degree, but I'm not totally because Nover did have network.
Yeah.
He did NFL and NBC stuff.
I got it from his Wikipedia page. The late Sam Nover, he passed several years back. He did Steelers preseason games from the late 80s until the late 90s.
I'm
glad the old Mulsey, brain.
Right. Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Actually work.
You just heard Pomp with us. You can hear him with Starkey, and you can hear them talk about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contest run Wednesday through Friday at noon on the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. In about 15 minutes or so, you will hear what Andy Weidel had to say about Cam Hayward and his contract stalemate. One Art Rooney confidant murdered Cam Hayward today. Not literally, of course. He'd be in jail for that, or he'd be awaiting charges. Yep. But really, with his pen, murdered Cam Hayward. We'll tell you who that is and what he said coming up, too. But it is time for PM Team Power Rankings. We are ranking the top five fullbacks, and we have said since 2000, because I didn't want to bastardize this list.
We all thought of the same easy loopholes. We could have gone Jim Brown 1, Franco Harris 2.
Yeah.
We all didn't want to. We all thought of the exact same silly little loophole, and so we decided not to collectively exploit it.
So I want the big guys that paved the way, and Chris Berman would get on primetime and say, so that's what we're doing here. My top five, just as a tease here, does not include any Steelers. No former Steelers cracked my top five. But my number five did play college ball in Pennsylvania. And he's also a former teammate of one Aaron Rodgers. I put John Kuhn here. I was always a John Kuhn guy. Andrew Filippone, noted John Kuhn lover. He was a first team All-Pro at one point. He was on the 2010 team that the Steelers lost to in the Super Bowl. He'd have like one run for a first down a game. The entire Lambeau crowd would go, Kuhn. So I was always a John Kuhn lover, I guess, for lack of a better term. So he came in at number five for me.
I have a quick question, because this is just going to determine one spot on my list. Do we count guys who are called H-backs, who kind of floated between tight end and fullback, as part of this position?
I mean,
like, Frank Wycheck is kind of the guy.
I think of him more as a tight end, but okay. I mean, if you.
No.
Okay, it's your list, man.
No, that's fine.
I put Kuhn five. You're next. Who's four for you?
Four for me is actually a late entrant, because I couldn't decide. And I think you'll be mad, because I think you're going to say to me he's too much of a tight end. Charles Clay, great pass catching threat.
What?
You don't like that? Is that not the spirit of the thing?
You can have whatever spirit you want, but I would have never. I don't think of Charles Clay as a fullback, man.
Really? Because he played for Buffalo and was okay. Then we'll wipe it from the list, because I was getting pass catchers on here and all sorts of stuff. Doesn't matter. You know who number four is for me, actually?
Who?
Dan Kreider.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere.
Okay. All right. I mean, I think you left a lot of room for interpretation. You're
right,
just kind of typecasting fullbacks here.
Well, I mean, if you want to put Clay in there and defend it, go ahead. But
no, I'll happily take him off the list. It's fine. Because now I have a better sense of where you truly were hoping this went. So I will go.
What is your favorite Dan Kreider memory?
Him just pummeling Ray Lewis on a play. He came through as the lead blocker. And it was the two Rams meeting on the mountain. And listen, Lewis, as much as I say he was overrated, which is true, would still win a lot of those battles. But I do recall a particular Steelers-Ravens game where Kreider came through leading for, it would have been Bettis, I think. and just flattened Ray Lewis. And man, was that a glorious thing to behold.
Amanda's most cherished Steelers jersey is a Dan Kreider jersey. So there you go.
I mean,
when
you look up fullback in the dictionary, you basically see a picture of him, John Kuhn, and a couple other guys who are almost certainly going to get listed here.
Donnie, number three on your top fullback since 2000 list.
So we did have some clarification with the guys way back when who used to be listed as fullbacks when they were really just a team's running back. I also asked you guys, is this solely what they did post 2000? And you said, no, we'll have some leniency. As long as they played in the 2000s, we can count what they did in the 90s. Because I went with Malzie's boy here at number three. I went with Larry Centers.
Oh, my God.
Probably the best receiving fullback of all time.
There's no probably about it. He is.
Malzie would leave Alex for Larry Centers if given the chance. That's how much he loves Larry Centers.
I'm just going to spoil something right now. In deference to the general idea of putting, A, not putting guys who did a lot of their best work in the 90s on this list, and B, being a little bit unsure of how we wanted to feel about pass-catching guys who are more receiving threats, he's my honorable mention. Because he had his best years, no question, in the 90s. The guy caught 100 passes as a fullback.
Yes, I know.
And then the next year he caught 99. Just two of the more bizarre seasons you'll ever see out of a guy.
One of my favorite players to utilize in early Madden games was Larry Centers.
If a Steelers wide receiver two had the following stats in a two-year span, 200 catches, 1,728 yards, so you'd hate the yards per reception and nine touchdowns, you'd say, eh.
Yeah, you still take it based on what we've seen.
You'd absolutely take it.
All right, my number two is going to surprise you. It's not Elstad. It's not Elstad at one. I have him at two.
I think I know who you have at one.
The A-Train. What a friggin' load that guy was. The shoulder pads were epic. Putting his head down. We've watched, actually, getting ready for the game on Saturday, we've watched some Steelers-Bucks games from the late 90s and early 2000s.
He looked like a nightmare to tackle.
But I actually think the Steelers did a great job of bottling him up in those games because they didn't see the Bucks every year. And I think the guys on that defense took it personal. Like, this guy's going to come over here and try to blow us up. We're not going to stand for that. So he got the Steelers' best punch, and I think the Steelers did a very good job in those situations.
I thought he was also a guy, classic, like, even more. People say this about Derrick Henry. I don't even think it's true because he's got sprinter speed. But if you could get Alstott before he got about two or three, like, truly clean steps running downhill, you could neutralize him. Most of those Alstott highlights are him getting, like, a little bit of space to start with, like a decently blocked play. And then just running over a couple of these poor SOBs coming up from the secondary trying to tackle him.
So he played
violent, violent football.
He played
player.
Five games against the Steelers in his career.
I bet you he didn't have a 100-yard game against them.
He did have a game in 98 where he got the ball 24 times for 78 yards and a touchdown.
Is that not the most fullback game of all time right there?
They won the game 16-3.
The Bucs did?
The Bucs did. I don't think we've watched that one.
98
back.
Steelers?
98, yeah.
There's the reason they we didn't watch good. That horrifying team to watch. I lived through it.
Although you say that, you say horrifying?
Actually, 99 was worse.
Both teams were 7-7 after that game.
I know, but I think the Steelers lost out that year after that, so they would have gone from 7-6 to 7-9.
You want to hear Cordell's stat line in that game?
No, I don't.
9-21 for 88 yards and 3 picks. You want to take a guess who the Bucs quarterback was that day?
In 98?
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been Sean King, I think.
You're right, it wouldn't have been Sean King.
Hold on. Wouldn't have been him either.
Is it Rob Johnson?
Nope. Wasn't there yet.
Not Brad Johnson.
You guys are out of options.
Okay.
Trent Dilfer.
Jeez. He probably didn't fare much better.
He went 9-18 for a .111.
God, that's football. When football was football, huh, boys?
All right, Malzie. You know, oh, man, I can't believe I forgot this guy. Anyways.
All right, so I'm going to give
who's
you...
number one?
I'm going to tell you that my number one was Alstott because while he blurred the line and was way more of an actual offensive weapon in a running back than these guys, I mean, the dude still averaged 3.7 yards per carry for his career. He was doing it the hard way. And so I think he more than qualifies as still being called a true running back, or true fullback, excuse me. I'm instead going to give you the guy that if we were doing, and I think this is your number one, I suspect, if we were doing this in the pure notion of what a fullback is, Lorenzo Neal.
That's who I had at number one.
Yeah. And I think it was all about, do you want to honor Alstott, who put up big numbers at the position and could also block for Warrick Dunn, or do you want to honor the guy who embodied the position more than any other person? And Lorenzo Neal was that dude. That guy played 16 seasons. He played 239 games in the NFL. His primary job description was run into the meanest guy on the other team at full speed and usually headbutt him. I hope for Lorenzo Neal's sake he lives a very long and happy life post-football.
Yeah.
He's 54 years old. I hope the guy
lives... He's doing sports talk out in California.
I know.
Still.
I hope the guy lives till he's 85 and has zero cognitive issues.
We've had him on the show. Very lucid.
I know. He's extremely, like, well-spoken and articulate, like, by anybody's standard, football player, fullback, or otherwise. I hope that continues for him. Also impressive, and I think this is a function of who he was blocking for at this point. His three all-pro seasons, a second team and a pair of first teams, are in three of his last 4 years. That's when LaDainian Tomlinson was there. So he's blocking for a guy putting up crazy numbers and probably getting a lot more attention for it.
One guy I included that we didn't get to, I had Tony Richardson.
I had him at four in the Chiefs.
Do you like him, Donnie?
Yes, I had Richardson at four. I had Neal at two, Allstott at one.
I had centers as the honorable mention, Kuhn at five, Kreider four, Neal and Allstott two and one, and then three, guys still playing, Kyle Juszczyk.
I had him at five.
He's absolutely a real fullback.
You guys, I put number four in here, but I just realized number four wouldn't have counted for me because he didn't play in 2000, so I broke my own rule.
I think Juszczyk is a legit fullback. And he's more of a weapon type of guy, but he absolutely goes in there and lead blocks.
The only thing I'll say about him why I didn't have him higher... Yeah. He just doesn't face competition at that position. So he's like always the Pro Bowler. He's always the All Pro.
He's a little too much of an athlete, too.
Right.
Like, I
Whereas,
mean, they
like,
utilize
when I
him
think
in space.
Fullback, I picture the other guys we mentioned. I don't really picture him.
That's why I didn't even bother to check to see what years he played, but that's why I had Daryl Moose Johnston on my list.
You did?
But I think
he was
retired
done in what, 98?
Before. Yeah.
Juszczyk is listed at 6'1", 235. He probably plays around 235, 240. That still, to me, is fullback dimensions here.
All right, so that was PM Team Power Rankings.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents.
As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.